My job is an actor, and I want to kick off with, there's a little skill that actors do. It's called, when you do come on stage, it's called previous circumstance. And when we have this in the Bible, a lot of people, like, I read it and I see it like that. I sometimes see it like a script or a story. And a bit like what Trevor was saying when we started this series, we have the portraits, like the Gospels see Jesus in a different way, a different camera angle, as it were. And every scene you come into, you've got to remember the previous circumstance. Like, otherwise, you don't know where the characters have come from. As we read the Bible, we see this amazing tale, and like Jesus has come from somewhere. And what's happened before affects what's going on now. So as we're reading today, we're reading from John 14, 15 to 31. But previously, before that, as God is amazing with his word, he creates this amazing kind of sequence of events that like either repeat or reinstate or kind of affirm. They're just always kind of guiding us along. And he does it so well. And previously with this, you see Jesus has done some amazing things. And one of the, like, the pinnacle moments I found when going back to like chapter 12 was the raising of Lazarus. And you saw Lazarus was raised from the dead. And then there was the anointing at Bethany. And then there's a triumphant entry coming back in. And then Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And I found it really intriguing as a character. Let's just be honest here. If someone rose someone from the dead, we would definitely want to tell people about it, wouldn't we? We'd be like, did you just see what happened? Yeah, and Jesus almost does the opposite. And it's the beautiful setup of humility that Jesus sets. He raises Lazarus from the dead, and then he goes into this house, and he gets the anointing at Bethany, and then there's a triumphant entry, and all of a sudden, instead of going on like what probably happened today, would be a million things on YouTube, but like, check out what I just did, he does the opposite. He goes into the intimacy with his 12 disciples in the Last Supper and washes their feet. And I was intrigued by this, and it kind of goes the opposite way for the disciples. As that happens, they freak out. If you read it, they're kind of going, because Jesus starts to trickle, I'm about to go somewhere, you don't know where I'm going. And he starts to trickle in this information because he knows the time is coming to the cross. And as he does that, as Jesus almost gets this sense of peace, this stillness before this very hard thing he's about to do. Very hard is underestimating of a word. It's extremely painful journey he's about to take. The disciples freak out, and he gets stiller. And as I was reading this over the last few weeks, it's been a great companion on my train journeys to work. I found this incredible reassurance. And you have to bear with me, because basically I'll comb through it, and you'll see these like little dots. And sometimes we focus on the A or the B of our journey, but actually it's the in-between, the little words. In dance, it's like the dance steps, they're called like linking steps, and sometimes they're the most interesting steps. You ever seen it on some dance shows? They do a big trick, and then they walk a bit, they do a big trick, but sometimes the interesting bit is in between. And just, so bear with me, you ready? If you've got your Bibles or your apps, get them out, ready? I just want to let you know, like, mini part of my testimony, what really turned my walk around was the love of the word. Before, I loved Jesus. I always loved Jesus. But I just was never very good at making my Lord when I was a younger lad. And then something really turned around when I discovered his word, and I just couldn't help. But his commandment became boss in my life, and that was it after that. So I'm a bit of a geek. I love looking at original words and all that. So anyway, bear with me. I'll try and be as slow as I can. If I get a bit ahead, it's because I've got a puppy-like nature, and I get excited because of it. So if you need me to slow down, do say. Just go, Dave, take a chill pill. Anyway, not that we take any drugs, if anyone's listening online. Okay, so John, chapter 14, 15 to 31. And the subject of this is living for another kingdom. And we start off, let's just go for it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live. You will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to unpack that, and then it'll lead on to the next thing. So, keep, the word keep. In the Greek, it's tereo. And it says four times in the whole of this section we're reading. And they kind of really set the scene. The original word of it kind of come, like the description of the original Greek word is to take care of, or to guard, or to like keep in its current state. And I thought about that. What if we did that, actually thought that when we approach God's word, or his commandments? What if we genuinely, like, have you ever thought when you hold your Bible and you're like, wow, this is really precious. If anyone's ever read The Heavenly Man, the Bibles are confiscated. And so they memorize scripture, like whole chapters and books of scripture. And we don't do that in the West because we have the freedom of it. But what if we approached God's commands with such care? And also the opposite side. So that's kind of like an intimacy of what if we actually approach God's commands to keep the Bible, to keep his commands, his what Jesus tells us to do with such care, like you did in a marriage or in a relationship with a friend. If someone gives you a gift, you don't throw it away. You take care of it. You keep it. Or is it another thing of like, it kind of, again, amazing what God's word does. It goes to complete ends of the scale. To guard. You guard it. If it's command from an officer, you guard it with everything you've got. And it's amazing how God just totally taps into extreme ends of the spectrum. So just with that in mind, because God does this amazing thing where he kind of like literally top and tails the whole section, and we'll come to that. So that's one word. Yeah. And those three things have a fruit from it. So it goes keep, and I just want to look out for it as we read it. Keep, and another comforter will come. Keep, and I will manifest myself to you. Keep, and I'll make my home with you. Yeah. And if we look at those in that intimacy way, if I keep and take care of this, another comforter is going to come and be with you. If I keep, I will manifest myself to you. And if I keep, I'll make my home with you. Yeah? So keep that in mind. The next word, will. It's the certainty of Jesus that we hear now. He is so certain. And this is where the reassurance comes in. Because keep can sound a bit like, if you read it at first, when I first read it, I went, oh no, if I don't keep this, I'm done. Yeah, it sounds a bit like an ultimatum. It's not. It's a reassurance. If you keep this, this is what's going to happen. But don't worry, I will is the word you start to hear. Just go back on it. If you love me, keep, take care, guard my commandments. And I will pray the Father. It's a definitive. It's not a maybe. It's I will. It's a promise. Yeah. And Jesus' certainty here is so apparent. And you can, if I was to go up to Richard and he's a disciple, he's freaking out. Jesus is going, no. I will be there. I'm not going anywhere. I will. Yeah, and this is amazing because the disciples are freaking out, yeah, and he's just going, calm down, I'm here. I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. Comforter is another translation of it, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Important, remember that for later. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, he dwells with you. It's because Jesus is there, the Holy Spirit is in Jesus, he's dwelling with them. You know it. You've seen it. You've seen it in me, is what Jesus is saying. And will be in you. So he's saying soon it will come. Can't yet because the cross hasn't happened. Yeah, he hasn't been to the cross yet. The Holy Spirit can't come. Yeah. I will not leave you orphans. Another translation of that is comfortless. I will come to you. So I won't do the whole thing, but just keep an eye on that. Will. It's a really, really powerful word that I found. It's a link word. You wouldn't really think about it. When you look at it, he repeats it over and over and over and over again. And it's God saying, not just to the disciples, but I think to us as we read it. It's like, I will be there. Don't worry. Stop panicking. I will. Anyway, so let's carry on. And then let's look to helper. Parakletos in the Greek, which is what we see as the Holy Spirit, which is what we're talking about. It's all setting up the scene. It all makes sense soon. Aid, called to one side, pleads for us. Advocate, a legal assistance. And I'm not really good, so maybe some people can come afterwards and help me out. Is that where we get paralegal from? I don't know. I was really interested in that. Someone help me out with that. I'm still young in the word in so many ways. So let's carry on reading. We just finished at verse 24. No, actually. And then we say another word, which is abide. He says, because I will know my father will receive. It kind of says to my word, a father will love him. Where's it gone? Sorry, I've lost it. There we go. I will pray in verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you. And that is very, like, you'll hear it a lot. Abide dwells, makes our home. It's from the word meno. And it basically is just what it is. It's embrace. It's an intimacy. Be with you. Never leave. Consistent kind of presence. Yeah. And what I wanted to kind of spin off of this is, like, use some other parts of scripture, you know, and don't just believe me, check their context. But the Holy Spirit, when we talk about hosting the Holy Spirit, there is a very literal thing. I think we make it quite spiritual and we kind of go, but there is a very literal thing of the Holy Spirit is physically, literally with us. Yeah. And if it makes a home in us, it's a reassurance. If Jesus is reassuring us, will, what comes out of that reassurance? What makes us so reassured? What makes us go so certain? It's the Holy Spirit. So just, I'm going to get some audience participation in now. Anyone, put your hand up if you want to read 2 Corinthians 5, 1 to 8. Anyone? 2 Corinthians 5, 1 to 8. See who gets there first. That's a fun game. Just go for it. How much of time? Ooh, I've got to be quick. Yes, go for it. Yeah.
2 Corinthians 5, 1 to 8. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Verse 6. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
Amen. It's beautiful. And just I'm gonna explain a bit about us and then let the other ones kind of fill it in. I've got a few more scriptures. But verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this, thank you. Sorry, I didn't say thank you, thank you. It's beautifully great. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, can't lie, as a guarantee. Now, in that day, if you didn't have money, you would give your ring. It was a Jewish thing, or like something of jewelry, as a credit card almost. This is from me, I'm good for it, and I'll come back and get it later. And I'll purchase. So, who wants to be my volunteer? I will go, there we go. So I'm going to, thanks for this goat. I haven't got money on me right now. Here's my ring.
Thank you.
Okay, you hold on to that till the end, yeah? Okay, I'll come back for it, yeah? That is very symbolic of the Holy Spirit, yeah? It's the guarantee, it's the ring. It's like a betrothal from Jesus to his church. He will come back. He has given us the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. And not just a flippant thing, but then if we read Ephesians, anyone else? Ready? Ephesians 1, verse 13 to 14, go. I'll have another vowel, please. Yes, go for it.
And when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed in Christ, you were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, who is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory.
Oh, that's awesome. It was a different translation. It was better. Down payment is exactly what I was saying. It's the same. New King James says guarantee, but this, I love the down payment. It's exactly that. Sealed. Not only is it a guarantee, it's sealed. Done. Delivered. Finished. Yeah? And it's kind of sounds like a bit like Christian 101, but I was always taught, especially in my ballet training, you can never go back to basics too often. This is so important because what comes from the gift of the Holy Spirit we're hosting, which we're going to come on to reading in a minute, is the very knowledge of what it is, who is it, and why is it there. It's the reassurance, everyone. It's the sealed deal. It's what Jesus has given us to empower us on this earth, manifest to us in truth, because it is the Spirit of truth, so that when we go out to the world, we're going to change lives. We're going to introduce Jesus. But how can we do that if we're unconfident? But we can be. I want to encourage you today that as you leave, you are sealed. You have a down payment on your life, bought and finished. And it's not just a quick stamp, I'll wait for it 5 days later, Amazon. It's not that. It's coming. It's here. Yeah? Anyway, so the next thing I was going to say, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth. It says that it will, let's read it a bit more and it will link into it. So, going back to our main text, verse 25. Are we all there? The gift of his peace is what's titled. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let's go from here. So, there's this beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit, and it's, in the Greek it's erene, in the Hebrew it's shalom, and it is about the wholeness. People kind of go, oh, peace, it's so nice and lovely, I'm so chilled out today, what about you, I feel great, oh, I don't feel so peaceful today. It's the wrong idea. The peace of the Holy Spirit is in any circumstance, and that's really important, because as Christians, when we witness, we're afraid to be weak. We're afraid to be a mess, but we can go, do you know what? I'm having a rough day today, but God is good, and here's my peace. Yeah? Don't be afraid to be like that. It's a better way, I think so personally. The peace of the Lord isn't in your circumstance. It is in the guarantee of the next world, of the new world that we're going to go to, which is where we start to segue into living for a different kingdom. Yeah? So if your completeness and wholeness is based in something in this world, I promise you it will fall. It will fail, whether it's today or tomorrow or in 10 years' time. It will go, yeah? But if it's for another world that Jesus has promised with a guaranteed down payment, I will get my ring back. I'm joking. That is the confidence we have, yeah? Because if we go, oh, I can't go to the cross. I don't know about you guys. I would suck at it. I'd get me down. Let's all face it, let's really be honest, but because Jesus was perfect, and he was God in flesh, and he did that for us, that means we have it paid for. Not that we then sit back and do nothing, but then we're manifested by the Holy Spirit to change this world here and now, like human trafficking issues, like our local neighbours struggling with addictions, or like people who have lost someone, or do you know, all these things that we have around us, isn't in our own strength, but in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? Not only is it a down payment, but it's an active teacher here and now. Mm-hmm. Only God has the paradox of that spectrum to... I don't even understand it. How does it fit in my body? I don't get it. You know, squish it in, put it in. Oh, it works. Great. You know? Anyway, am I going too fast? Are we okay? Okay. Yeah, are we good? Are we all right? Okay. So, we start to see how we relate this in the world. My peace I give to you. So the world in this, when you read through it, I won't go through it again, but it has five contexts. Four of them are negative. It's all about they won't see me. So I'll give you a little while longer and the world won't see me no more. But you will see me. And I'll give you the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. So that's two. I've tried to highlight it. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Yep. So, but the world gives to you, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The last, fourth one, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. I love that. I really think Jesus didn't back away when he said that to his disciples. He says, by the way, there's this thing, this person called the accuser, the devil, nothing. Absolute nada. Zilch, zero. Nothing in me. If he could make it a negative, he would. Yeah? Nothing. The last one, but the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. And now we see the keeping of the commandments. The best teachers I've seen in my life as an actor and dancer was the ones who demonstrated and did it with me. And he does that. He goes, I'm going to show you, because I'm about to keep the biggest commandment ever. I'm going to go to the cross for you. I'm going to keep that and I'm going to love you. Four negatives, one ultimate, covers them all. What amazing grace. So, starting to close. We've got 5 minutes. So what does that look like practically? I'm really good at talking emotively. It's something I'm just like that, I'm connected. But I really struggle sometimes to go, how does that look like practically? So, to like finish off for a bit of fun, as we see this, can you just say, by the way, it says make our home with you. Did you notice that? It says the Trinity already. It doesn't say I will make, it says our home. Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Just a little side note. So we have the guarantee. And we realise that this hasn't happened yet for the disciples because the cross hasn't happened. They haven't had this yet, you know. And Luke says that when you do get this, I just as a practical thing, when you're witnessing. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. So as the guarantee, not only does it give you peace, from the cross, we have the cross, the Holy Spirit comes as our guarantee, and not only that, it manifests itself to us with what Jesus teaches us in remembrance, what he says, that will give you remembrance of all that he did, and not only that, I'm going to tell you how to speak to people. Don't try and prepare it. It's like me going, I'm about to go see someone at a coffee shop. I know no idea what I said to them or who they are, but I'm just going to prepare a whole sermon in my head. It's going to work. It does not apply to you personally whatsoever. And that's what we do, don't we? Why are we so afraid to just rest in the Holy Spirit and let him speak to us in the moment to that person? I bet you'd listen more. You'd be like, what's actually where you at? What's your need? Well, actually, in Genesis, I want to tell you that this happened and this is what should be applied to your life. No personal connection whatsoever. It doesn't sound like Jesus to me. Especially when you wash the disciples' feet. As we come to a close, the little practical application. The word may gets used. May know for all people. And he answers Judas's question. You know, when Judas goes, Lord, is how you manifest yourself to us and not to the world. Jesus goes and completely skips over it. If you go, like, look at it later, verse 22, he says, how are you going to manifest to us and not to the world? And Jesus doesn't actually answer him straight away, but he does at the end because it's like the final to this section until he goes, let's go from here. He says, let me find it. And now I've told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise. May know. Isn't it amazing that even in this moment he gives choice? He says may. It's got will, may. And it says, go through it again in your own time. May abide, may believe, may know. And it's interesting that I may abide. So, practical application, I need one volunteer. I was going to do many, but we haven't got time. One volunteer. Who's brave? A little bit of improv. Go on, Jenny. Jenny's a fellow arts. Renna was very, very, very kind and didn't actually mention Jenny's on the Natasha's team. She does amazing work. She's part of the restorative workshops. Bend her ear about it. She's awesome. So, Jenny, you're going to stand here. Oh, no, speaker. I'll go from here. Okay, and you're just going to follow my lead. Oh, sorry, speaker. Ready? We're in a house, by the way. It's like a flat or whatever, you know. Imagine it. Okay, ready?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
May I come in?
Oh, yeah. Come in.
Pause. Oh, see what I did there? Carry on. May I come in?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Stop. Salvation. There, boom. Carry on. You accept Jesus into your life? May I come in? Yes, sure. Invitation. That's the choice. May I come in? And then, let's say, improv something that you, like, something in your life that you struggle with, or, like, something that's, like, not personally, but, like, say something simple, like, I don't know, something that, like, you're stealing, or something selfish, something that's a bit fleshly.
Oh, look at this thing I've just stolen.
Can you remember when you had that talk last week, and we talked about, like, the whole stealing thing? Oh, it's awkward, isn't it? You shouldn't really do that. No. Yeah. No. Why don't you take it back tomorrow? By the way, invite them to church.
Okay.
Yeah, great. Okay, I'm going to sit over here. You hang out. And this is like the practical way of what if that is what the Holy Spirit's like? What if we really imagined an embodied person? Because it does. The Bible describes them as a person. What if it was someone who dwelled with us in a house? Yeah? And what if it's something or more of an encouraging thing? You're going to do great in that exam tomorrow. I will be with you. I will not leave you. I'm here. Let's do this. Okay. You ready?
I'm ready.
Right step. Just walk one step at a time. There we go. You're doing great. Really good. Yeah? What if that is, if it's that simple? What if it's reading the word? Thanks, Philly. And we get confused with a certain chapter. Why are we so afraid to wrestle with it and go, Holy Spirit, it's a living word. Breathe on it right now and show me what I'm reading. Yeah? So that's kind of like my practical application. And what happens is the truth, the Spirit of truth teaches us, brings to remembrance. And as you live with someone, what happens? If you're in someone's proximity, what happens over and over again? You change habit. I've changed since I got married to Arena. I've lost her. She's gone. Oh, no. She's taken my baby. Anyway, Jake. Oh, there she is. Oh, dear. I've got changed since I've married to Arena because I've lived with her. My habits change. What if that's the same? Not if, what if? It is the same with Jesus. He lives with you. He teaches you truth. And that truth then changes and challenges you and molds you. And then the last thing in all of this, it can be almost a bit overwhelming to think, how do you deal with this on a daily basis, being manifested by the Holy Spirit coming through you and changing the world around you? Because not only does it change you, but then in Acts 1:8, when he says, now go out to all of Judea, Samaria, and the whole world, all people, as you see in the last thing, that the world may know, the world, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are carrying something that is a world-changing thing. You don't have to go anywhere else. You don't need a million programs. It's in you. It lives in you. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and it teaches you truth. It manifests in you, and it will go out to the world and change the people around you. And you do the same thing that goes to the beginning. You wash their feet. That's where it starts. Intimacy. Serving the need. Inviting them into your home. Inviting them into your workplace. Inviting them to your church. Invite. Let them have their may. They have that right. God gave them a unique relationship. Why do we think we can enforce that upon them? It's their choice. They will then get the down payment, and then they will get changed, and then a manifest, and it starts again and again and again. So, peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. Just as we close, because I know it's coming to the end, I've got this little gift. You can take it and give it to someone else. You can keep it for yourself. All I ask, it's my favourite thing at Christmas, is when you go to, you know, 12 o'clock Mass on Christmas Eve, and you have that, and you go around and say, peace be with you. Just before you leave, peace be with you. It's one of my favourite things. I'm the guy that holds up the congregation because I try and do everyone. And there's like 30, 40 people, and the reverend's definitely waiting. They're going, hurry up, I want to get home to my brandy. I'm joking. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm joking. Don't. That's not a generalisation. Anyone's listening online. So, anyway, please take one of these beautiful little doves. Because as we know, when Jesus was baptised by John, he says, you know, this is what needs to be done, fulfilled righteousness. The dove came down. It was a dove of peace. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. In any circumstance you're in, the Holy Spirit is your peace. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to freak out. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to cry. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to be angry or frustrated. But it does mean that it's not the circumstances of this world, because you live for another world. You're changing now for then. Yeah? So just hand it along. Take it. Take two. I don't care. And say, peace be with you as you pass it along. And just as we do, why don't we just take a moment of prayer, because of time, of just what's that peace look like in your life? Who's in your life you might want to invite into that peace? Is there something in the house of your home that you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to take hold of? Yeah? And as we talk, just to round off, as we know about this peace, keep praying, don't just maybe listen to my voice. We know that not only is the guarantee for another world, but the other promise is that Jesus will be back. I will come back and get you. I will not leave you orphans. And so there is that day that will come where he'll come and grab his guarantee. Thank you. It's an awesome ring. It's got Hebrew on it. It's my favourite verse in Hebrew. It's on my wedding ring for God. Anyway, he will come back. I don't know about you, but it changes my confidence radically. Anyway. Yeah, let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to take away what is not of you in my talk and keep what is of you. I am but a man, but we know that you are ultimate. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You are the great I Am. As he said to Moses at the burning bush, he went, I am. And that's enough. The Holy Spirit, Lord, we ask as we host the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we ask you to come in every way that you know how, because you can do everything, whether it be challenging, teaching, encouraging, building up, comforting. Lord, that I will never presume all the needs that are in this room, but I do know for a fact that you will not leave us as orphans. You will not leave us comfortless. And as we just invite you to every part of our homes of our hearts, we ask you to transform us, manifest in us through your teaching of truth, and that that manifestation will just transform us to go and change a world that actually I see every day is getting more and more into chaos. Father, that we will not be pulled down by that, Lord, that we will not lose hope, because our hope is not based in this world. Our peace is not based in this world. Our joy is not based in this world, but in the world that is coming, the new heaven and the new earth, Father God. And thank you that you just paid the biggest debt ever known to man, down payment on all of our lives. And there are so many people that down payment is hovering over them, waiting to be just right put into their hearts and their soul. And I pray that those people that are in our midst, that are in our immediate circles, you will give us opportunity to have those conversations, not pre-thought ideas, but genuine, Holy Spirit-guided, God-given conversations, appointments that you have ordained to change their life forever, and literally forever and ever and ever and eternity. Thank you, Lord, that you are so big, beyond our understanding. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to my friends and my family, the body of Christ. Thank you that you are amazing. Thank you for the cross and what you did for us. May your peace be with us. May your peace always follow us, around us, wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Not quite sure whether a round of applause is the appropriate way at this moment to show our appreciation, but no. We do appreciate what you said. Thank you.